In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your loving mind, to feel you all around me, and to take your hand along the sand. But I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes I'd find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing, 'twould make me sing. But I may as well try and catch the wind. When rain has hung the leaves with tears, I want you near to kill my fears, to help me leave all my blues behind. For standing in your heart, it's where I want to be and long to be. But I may as well try and catch the wind. But I may as well try and catch the wind. I'm Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show. And we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's listener-supported network, so head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Look for that donation button and use it. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Oliphant, Philip Ferruccio, and Frank Cordero. And so this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Fort Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Mount Jackson, Virginia, in Denver, Colorado, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. And now my recommended list for April 25th. Tina Foster, Plastic Maca, Paul McCartney is Dead. Impossible Visits, the YouTube channel of Christopher Noel. Become Fully Woke. Church Doctrine, the YouTube channel of Scott Creighton. Bill Hicks Teaches Us a Lesson About Russiagate. Also of Scott Creighton. Seeing Through the Julian Assange Smokescreen. Wolfgang Halbig Interview by Joseph Yates. YouTube. How Much Plastic is in the Ocean and Can We Clean It Up? In the Now, published on February 13th, 2019, YouTube. Also YouTube, Andre Vilcek, NATO, Canada, and Western Imperialism. And the April issue of Penn Magazine is available at pennmagazine.us. Andre Vilcek, a world-traveling journalist, asks us to realize what is the real world and to fight with those who are fighting. Reject the Western world's wealth and arrogance. Join with the oppressed. Really do it. As for me, I've long hoped that my books and this radio show are some way to do that. And now with the Sandy Hook lawsuit brought against Professor Moonrock Books and me, it is an opportunity to get a glimpse behind the curtain of what is really happening in the world and how so much is manipulated by governments and controlled media. It's a way to fight, because if the world can know the truth behind Sandy Hook and Boston and Parkland, Oklahoma City and 9/11 and the others, we can really come to know our world, our country, our rulers, to stop wars and bring the world more into line with how things should really be, where people are not poor and people are not having bombs dropped upon their heads because of where they live. I believe all of this badness is based in the United States mainstream media that is controlled by the CIA and the FBI and others. It seems unbelievable. It's meant to be. These false flags are meant to groom us, to make us amenable to wars. It is a battle for the mind and for the soul as well. And we are fighting. Our first guest of the show is Julius Awafong. Julius Awafong joins us each month from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Julius is a reporter and activist, also a student. And now we're going to hear Julius Awafong in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Greetings to our listeners. Africa this week has got very interesting issues going on. The first exciting news has been the removal from power of the president of Sudan, Omar el-Bashir. You know, this guy has been powerful. I mean, he's one of the dictators or the autocrats who's been ruling one of Africa's nations for a very long time now. And it is under him that Sudan got split into northern and southern Sudan. I mean, where we got the birth of a new nation, southern Sudan. And it was led by a secessionist movement in Sudan. I mean, the creation or the birth of the new nation or the new state called southern Sudan was the work of a secessionist movement that has been existing in Sudan for a long time. You know, southern Sudanese are really black. They are all African, but they're black. You know why? The others are a little fair, like they're like Arabs. We all know, or we could attach the international interest on the split of Sudan, because we know that Chinese, on its part, was supporting the autocratic government, while the Americans and Europeans were supporting southern Sudan. Yes, it could be linked to a geostrategic support, because each of them wanted to draw their own share of the raw material or petroleum resources that are found or were found in this country. Yes, however, but the question is, why do nations get split? Why do people rebel in a nation? Omar el-Bashir has been in power for a very long time and has been ruling the stiff hand of a dictator, where every rule came from him, was some sort of a top-down approach to governance in that country. And people were so frustrated due to the malgovernance or the poor governing methods used by this man. But he was finally deposed, and we hear he's in prison. And one thing we have to learn is that the numbers of dictators in Africa have reduced tremendously and are really reducing. And we hope that as time goes on, a country like Cameroon, Papua New Guinea, Morocco, most of them will follow suit, and the will of the people will triumph in this country. But this had a lot of impact in some states in Africa that are still under dictatorship. For example, Cameroon. This removal of el-Bashir sent some waves of warning to Cameroon and its present president, President Paul Biya, who's been in power since 1982. So people are asking the question, if it is the end of tyranny in Africa. And some go as far as asking, where will be the turn of Cameroon? The American ambassador for Sub-Saharan Africa, Tibor Nagy, who came to Africa some time ago to discuss with President Paul Biya on the issues going on in Cameroon, the issues in the north with Boko Haram, terrorist movement that want to create a caliphate, the problem in the English-speaking parts of Cameroon, the Northwest and the Southwest, who are seeking for secession or the reinstitution of their states, because they were a state. I mean, they were a nation, not a state, before joining the French part. So they want to go back as they were before and form their own state and not to be part of the French rule. And we also have the problem going on in Cameroon with the Cameroon opposition party of the MRC, Professor Maurice Kamto, who's been in jail now for more than a month or two. Some of his compatriots who went to the street to protest against what they call the mischief of this present government. So Thibault Nagy came to Cameroon, the American ambassador for Sub-Saharan Africa, came to Cameroon to ask the president of Cameroon to try to redress some of these issues and promote democracy. These things have been interpreted differently. For example, and just last week, the European Union also took some measured decisions asking President Paul Biya to also address these issues. But there are two approaches in Cameroon, or let me say three. First, we have the government. The government, that's those who have been ruling for a very long time now, have a position. And their position is the European Union has no right to dictate the internal affairs of Cameroon. They have used the theory of sovereignty put forth as their defense. Cameroon is a sovereign nation, as they say, and because of that, they have no right to tell Cameroon how she has to govern her people and the decisions she has to take. We have another group, which are the Francophones in Cameroon, the Francophones of the opposition, and some who are in support of the opposition leader, who has been incarcerated for some time now, Professor Maurice Kamto, who said that, well, we think the European Union is welcome because they're trying to fight a regime that is abusing people, abusing human rights. And they are in a logic of like asking the European Union to help them bring down the dictator so that democracy could thrive in Cameroon. We also have another group, the Anglophone group, to which I belong, who don't care about what the government has to say to the European Union, who don't care about what the Francophones have to say by welcoming the European Union, but who care about separating from the French Cameroon and to be like a nation or a state on its own with its own principles as inherited from Britain, and not oppressed by the French system of governance. So these are the three main approaches or results from what has been happening in recent weeks. I've been in Bamenda for 2 days now because there's a part of my dissertation that I have to complete. So I came with some interviews and some more information. And the town is almost like Baghdad. It's a town where at any moment you get people killed, you get villages burnt down, you have properties burnt down. And I gathered some quite of interesting amount of information today. As I went, first of all, in the morning, as I was indoors, I had gunshots for over 1 hour, which was an exchange between those who are fighting for the separation of Cameroon and the military and the government forces who are fighting against these secessionist groups. So the gunshots were like about 4 miles away from where I live. So I had to go and meet somebody for him to guide me on some part of the work. So he called me to tell me the town is blocked and your area is under tension and lockdown. So there was just nowhere I could go. I could go out of my house. So as I went down the street to see what was happening, you could see a clear confrontation between the government forces and the secessionist forces. You find the secessionist forces parading on bikes with their guns, while the government forces are with their armored cars. When the thing got calmed a bit, I went downtown to see what really took place during the day. I saw that about 15 bikes were burnt down to ashes, and about 4 vehicles also burnt down. So I was inquiring from some of the guys around who did the burning. And they told me that the military did the burning. That is, those who are paid to protect the people are the ones destroying lives and killing the people. But about the secessionist forces, they told me that, or I learned that it's only on Mondays, because they have decided that every Monday in the English-speaking zones are ghost town days where nobody has to go out. And that if we find any vehicle or any bike or any shop that is burned down on a Monday, it means it is burned down by the secessionist forces. They burn those who refuse to obey their rules. Meanwhile, and if you find them being burnt on any ordinary day, it's the government forces that do so. I also gathered that, as time passes, people have developed a lot of love for the secessionist forces. And because according to them, these people protect them a lot, contrary to the military or the government forces who intimidate the people, kill the people, and burn down villages. And then one of the tools used by the government forces is the French language. In this English-speaking part of Cameroon, some people don't understand French. So when these military guys, these soldiers, who are mostly Francophones, come here, they provoke the people by speaking to them in French. And if you tell them, "I don't understand," you get rough-handled. Because they tell you, "I'm Cameroon, you should understand French." But they themselves cannot speak English. So it's such a situation where people are really suffering here. And I hope with time, things will get calmed down. And I know all this emanates from the roots or the foundation of the creation of the state of Cameroon. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Mike. I'll be there next month for more updates. Bye-bye.
And now we join, in progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, and the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and so much more. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with this message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans.
The Washington Post sat on the big desk with the headline, "Pentagon spending set to hit record levels." The president, nut, head down, strolled purposely around the parallelogram office, pausing at the window, clutching his tongue in his teeth, holding his big chief pad, using a giant Big Bird pencil to draw some dollar signs, tanks, and boobs. At the bottom of the page, he wrote, "We need these," and drew some stick dead people with brown skin. And then he wrote, "We don't need these," and wrote, "Healthcare, roads, forests, rivers, and hospitals." Under the big table, the child left behind sat cross-legged, writing on her yellow legal pad an article she was working on entitled, "Our Psychotic So-Called Leaders." Join us next time for The Americans, when we will find Buzz the Space Dog and Ricardo the Space Cat getting ready for the big anniversary by blasting themselves from the ground to the garage roof with bottle rockets. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll be hearing from Philip Ferrugio and Karen Katowski. All right. So, see you on the other side of the station break.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some messages we've been receiving from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. From Seth Rich, we hear this. The three purposes of Russiagate. One is to prevent President Trump from endangering the vast budget and power of the military security complex by normalizing relations with Russia. Another, in the words of James Howard Kunstler, is to conceal the criminal conduct of U.S. government officials meddling in the 2016 election in collusion with the Hillary Clinton campaign by focusing all public and political attention on a hoax distraction. And the third is to obstruct Trump's campaign and distract him from his agenda when he won the election. Despite the inability of Mueller to find any evidence that Trump or Trump officials colluded with Russia to steal the U.S. presidential election, and the inability of Mueller to find evidence with which to accuse Trump of obstruction of justice, Russiagate has achieved all of its purposes. Trump has been locked into a hostile relationship with Russia. Neoconservatives have succeeded in worsening this hostile relationship by manipulating Trump into a blatant criminal attempt to overthrow in broad daylight the Venezuelan government. Hillary's criminal conduct and the criminal conduct of the CIA, FBI, and Obama Justice Department that resulted in a variety of felonies, including the FBI obtaining spy warrants for partisan political purposes on false pretext from the FISA court, were swept out of sight by the Russiagate hoax. The Mueller report was written in such a way that despite the absence of any evidence supporting any indictment of Trump, the report refused to clear Trump of obstruction and passed the buck to the Attorney General. In other words, Mueller, in the absence of any evidence, kept the controversy going by setting up Attorney General Barr for cover-up charges. It's evidence of Mueller's corruption that he does not explain just how it is possible for Trump to possibly have obstructed justice when Mueller states in his report that the crime he was empowered to investigate could not be found. How does one obstruct the investigation of a crime that did not occur? A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some messages we've been receiving from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telegraph, and telepathy. Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. Phil's columns appear all over the internet, and we're very lucky to have him with us each week. And here he is with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Okay, good evening, Working Stiffs. The Crucifixion of Truth, Easter 2019. You know, it's interesting how the week before Easter, around Palm Sunday to be exact, they came in and forcibly arrested Julian Assange. Some short time before that, the U.S. government once again arrested Chelsea Manning. She was told to, quote, fess up, unquote, and implicate Assange in her release of some so-called secret transmissions that threatened national security. Let me see. You mean like Chelsea Manning's release in 2007 of the 39-minute video of U.S. military personnel playing a real-life video game with their massacre of a group of unarmed and unthreatening Iraqi civilians, including two Reuters newsmen, from their killer Apache helicopter? She gave the film to Assange's WikiLeaks, and soon after, the whole planet could see how criminally insane and immoral our occupation of Iraq was. Folks, that was the gist of the rest of this sad black comedy that Manning, Assange, and even Snowden have been made players in. This writer never has enjoyed black comedies in film, and now I know why. They never are, to me, very amusing. One surmises that our high schools and even colleges do not stress enough, in whatever type course this falls under, of both the need and service to justice of whistleblowing. Imagine if whistleblowers were able to release to the public and world the fact that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was created by our government and had absolutely nothing to do with the North Vietnamese. Just perhaps, maybe, just maybe, that might have pushed back the agenda of this empire's war makers. Now imagine this for a moment. If the whistleblowers like Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, and his boss, Hans Blix, who actually told everyone who would listen that they could not find or think there were WMDs held by Iraq in 2002. Well, then the invasion of that country may never have occurred. Factor all this with the slew of facts that were out there for public record, which were overlooked by an embedded U.S. and U.K. media. Why? Well, like with Groucho Marx in the film Duck Soup, when he takes an innocent slight by an adversarial nation's minister to shout, "This means war." The Bush-Cheney cabal did just that in, as Chomsky and Herman explained the process in their 1988 book, Manufacturing Consent. With a mostly compliant media, excepting the McClatchy newspaper chain, those gangsters took out another gangster and set off a chain of evil that still exists today in the Middle East. If only WikiLeaks was vibrant then. Well, here's a skinny on all this. Too many of our wonderful friends and neighbors, people mostly of good conscience, have lost their moral compass. We know how dumbed down our nation has become over time. Sadly, many good folks still believe the fairy tales that are presented to them by what is called news from both the electronic and the print media. This is how the aforementioned LBJ and the Bush-Cheney cabals sold us twice on phony wars. Of course, we can shoot back to the whole Iran-Contra scandal, the Noriega-Panama mess, and the made-for-TV Granada one-day war. Once again, we did have whistleblowers like the late Robert Parry and the late Gary Webb during those times, but to have a WikiLeaks with its capability to transmit evil sins and plans of sins throughout the ethers at speed of light, those behind such actions may and should have been held accountable. When people stop questioning authority, authority wins, many times for bad and not good. This Easter season, we should all remember that without whistleblowers and men and women of justice, we regress back to the jungle of ignorance and greed. Did not Jesus of Nazareth speak out for truth and fairness? They crucified him not for wishing to take over, rather for pointing out the flaws of society and of his own religion at that time. Did not Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, and Eric Snowden do the same? To sit back and forget the essential good of those three and do and say nothing reminds me of the old Easter Sunday joke. On Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the room where the 11 remaining apostles are hiding. "Fellas," she says, "I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that the master has resurrected himself like he said he would. The bad news is he wants to know what happened to you guys." Thank you.
Our next guest to the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And now we're going to hear the conversation between Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Oh, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
Wow, man. I've been on my feet the whole shift. I'm the shower head. That's just a way of saying who's the boss. And they're also, you're responsible for all the dishes. And then I'm also, even though the supper stuff is here, I have to put it together. So I'm cooking.
Oh.
So now I ran upstairs. I'm going to sit down.
Yeah, it sounds like you need a chance to sit down. Of course, you might not want to get up again, but...
Getting old ain't for sissies. That was Betty Davis, the movie star. And the woman must have known what she was talking about, because it's really true. But I don't need to tell you of this, or half the audience, if not more.
Most likely.
So I may intrude on your listening skills again. I just put out a beg letter, the annual Phil Berrigan beg letter, the Phil Berrigan Catholic Worker.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me, and I'm going to try to find it here. Yeah. Take a deep breath. Here it is. Yes. I think it's what it is a report that I put out on a yearly basis, mail it out to about 1,500 people, and it's a yearly beg, and I'm going to just read it because I think it's a great way to introduce our listeners to the work of the Phil Berrigan House here in Des Moines. So here we go. I just begin by saying we need around $12,000 to keep this house afloat in 2019. And by my reckoning, it's the best bang for your peace and justice bucks. Dear friends, another year, hat in hand, with my other hand out begging for Berrigan House. This year's beg is the 15th since 2003. Trying to define who we are at any given time is sometimes not easy to do, given our community's yearly turnover of people. It's far easier to just list the things we've done from year to year. 2018 is no different. Occupy the World Food Prize. 2018 Occupy the World Food Prize effort in October was our seventh annual effort. We occupied choice space on the state capitol grounds, next to the entrance where our voices and music could be heard by all who were attending the World Food Prize ceremony inside. This was a great free speech victory. One problem, though, no one showed up for the concert in the rally. The Des Moines Drone Command Center campaign. Our 2018 drone command efforts continued doggedly in a state where there exists a conspiracy of silence on all things connected to the Des Moines Drone Command Center and its real-time connection with U.S.-led drone killings in the Middle East. In 2018, we started an annual calendar event beginning in May with the second annual Armed Forces Day rally and protest, followed by this second annual August 6th to 9th Hiroshima Nagasaki vigil at St. Ambrose Cathedral, ending with a rally and protest at the drone site, and ending the year 2018 with our second annual Feast of the Holy Innocents retreat and witness. The Des Moines Catholic Worker and the Vets for Peace also hosted the annual Midwest Catholic Worker Faith and Resistance Retreat in Des Moines over St. Patrick's Day weekend. But little or nothing about our rallies and arrests in the local and state news media outlets. Something new. U.S. Army billboard campaign. In 2018, the No Respect in the U.S. Military, Iowa-based billboard Truth versus U.S. Army Lies campaign got started. On May 28th, we got an email message from an anonymous, concerned Christian political artist with a photo of an altered U.S. Army billboard at 1600 Euclid Avenue. The Army slogan, "Earn Respect," and
earn $40,000 joining bonus with two military persons working on a drone was altered with a large hand-painted letters, drones kill. And then the message, and we had a photo of this from the artist. The message says, fellow Iowans, the time has come to have a conversion about the use of armed drones, a conversation about the use of armed drones in the backyard of Des Moines, Iowa. In fact, this conversation is well overdue. Iowans need to break the silence about the killing perpetuated at the Drone Command Center. By failing to publicly condemn an active war zone in which Iowans are committing war crimes, are also failing to uphold basic human rights and killing without due process, although the U.S. government claims to be assassinating bad guys in the name of the war on terror, reports from international press and human rights workers, as well as documentation from our own government, show that many innocent lives have been taken, families and communities brutally disrupted. In addition to being morally wrong, these actions only fan the flames of terrorism targeting the United States. My added words, drones kill, exposes the lie of respectability of drone warfare that this army billboard is promoting. As a political artist and a believer in free speech, this act of truth speaking and exposing lies is far more valuable than the cost of any sign. Finally, I hope this piece of political speech will serve to enlighten my fellow Iowa Christians to wake up to this terrible drone warfare that we are part of, about which the majority of us have no clue. I wish to remain anonymous, to be free to continue this important work. And then on June 10th, we got another email from the same anonymous artist with a second photo altered army billboard. We sent out a news release. The Des Moines Register ran a June 12th photo with this headline, Polk County Sheriff's, quote, graffiti on Des Moines sign under investigation, with the below story. The billboard depicts a soldier holding a United States flag next to the message, earn respect and up to $40,000 in bonus if you qualify. Below it, no respect, is painted in large red letters with a peace sign embellishing it. The person behind the message is remaining anonymous, but is in contact with Frank Cordero, founder of the Catholic Worker Group, who put out a press release on the issue. Cordero said the person identified as a Christian Iowan is highlighting the use of drones in war, which Cordero described as criminal. In the statement, the anonymous person said the messages are in protest to the use of drones by the 102nd Wing in Des Moines, which is part of the National Guard. Quote, as long as Iowans continue to accept being part of an active war zone through the Drone Command Center, there can be no respect for serving in the military and the state of Iowa. The statement reads, our Iowa Drone Center connects Iowa to war crimes committed every day. Two more altered billboard email messages and photos were sent to us on July 20th and on September 14th, both at the same site on Fluor Drive. News media were sent photos and statements for both efforts. Both were replaced in hours. Both were ignored by the local and state news media people. How weird is that? I call it Iowa weird. We have not heard from our anonymous billboard artist friends since September. I can only hope it's not the last time we hear from him. Maybe they will return this summer. We can only hope and pray. Our next drone witness is May 18th, Armed Forces Day. Check it out. The bad, sad, and good news at Berrigan House. The big news is I'm no longer living at Berrigan House, and I reported about my move out of Dingman House in our last newsletter. The sad news is the brothers Dan and Phil, the cats, are no longer with us. Dan died this past summer, and Philip is retiring at Rachel Corey House. Now, the good news is Jacob Whitson and Rainey Aina are its new residents and caretakers. These two young people come to us from Kansas. They are a couple. They are both faith-based, justice-seeking, service-motivated young people who sought us out. Timing is everything. Jacob and Rainey could not have showed up at a better time for the Berrigan House. They bring a whole new spirit and perspective. We are very blessed to have them with us. Stay tuned. Our 2019 standing services on a weekly basis on Monday nights, yoga, 6 p.m., Friday, AA, 4 p.m., and Mass on Friday at 7 p.m. Monthly meeting, the Des Moines Vets for Peace chapter meets every first Monday at 5 p.m. We got a Peace and Justice Library. The whole house has gone through a deep clean and remake. The first floor book library has been cleaned out and sorted through, and it's now in alphabetical order by way of authors. Can't believe that, man. These kids are doing a great job. Updates on Jessica, Ruby, and Julie. Jessica Resnicek and Ruby Montan joined a Des Moines Catholic worker Julie Brown for 6 months timeout period from October to March at Rachel Corey House next door to Berrigan House. All three came back to Des Moines in bad shape. For Jess and Ruby, a year on the road, dropped out and out of sight, was not easy, and the threat of the FBI taking them into custody at any time did not let up. Julie Brown returned early from her work in Kurdistan with Christian peacemakers in need of some healing space. I'm grateful we were able to give them Rachel Corey House for 6 months, safe space period. Melissa Fuller joined them for the 6 month period. Julie Brown now is back in Kurdistan, Iraq, with the Christian peacemakers. Ruby returned home to start afresh with her family and life. And Jess just started a 3 month immersion experience with the Sisters Scholastica Monastery in Duluth, Minnesota. And she has also signed on to work on with the META Peace Team, formerly the Michigan Peace Team. I've never known Jess Resnicek to be happier than she is now. I could not be happier for her. Stay tuned. My ex-girlfriend might become a nun. What your donations will pay. In light of all of the above, your donations will pay for the following: utilities, gas, electricity, bug service, internet, phone, property taxes, upkeep for the physical space at 713 Indiana, plus donations will go towards the upkeep of an old van, gas and car insurance, printer and printing costs. Any leftover funds will go towards the Berrigan programs, projects, and campaigns. Please be generous, though anything is appreciated. Make your checks out to the Phil Berrigan Catholic Worker House or just to Frank Cordero. Mail them to 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And that's the end of this letter. Wow. Well, that's a long one, brother. Thank you for letting me get it.
It was a long one, but you know, we'll get this in there. Hopefully we can get it all in tonight. We will find out. Thank you so much for being with us again, Frank.
Thanks,
that was quite a letter and a whole lot of news packed into that. So
yeah.
I really do appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, brother. Okay.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Coming up in our next half hour, a very special segment from Michael Annis and the band Ghost Ship Rats. Don't miss it.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest joins us from Denver. Michael Annis founded Howling Dog Press in 1981. Years into his work at Howling Dog, he is now even more impassioned and committed to redefining and recreating world literary arts culture. He continually seeks and employs the force for the empowerment of language and culture. When leaving a footprint in this human arena, leave it in language, he says. Leave it within the locus of the universal human psyche, where all revolution ultimately manifests. And now, Michael Annis in Denver.
So, hi, Chuck. Hi, Mike. It's good to be back in the New American Dream. I have a special presentation tonight, involving the last part, the final part, conclusion of Ab Initio, Ab Initio. I've done 6 parts prior to this. It's a very long piece. But this 7th part has been set to music. And I have my ensemble. We worked on it very hard. We've got it to the point where we feel like it's radio worthy. And this would be the world premiere. I want to list my musicians. My operating credo for everything that I do is credit where credit's due. And my musicians and the Ghost Ship Rats, as they're known in this particular ensemble, my musicians were just extraordinary, at least in my opinion. Anyway, I want to list them by name so that that becomes very clear the importance of these people and how much they gave to this project. So, Katarina Pliego on cello, Felix Iodele on guitar, it's metal guitar, Mark Fox on saxophone and African Ngoni, Danny Harrison on electric bass, and Tom Tilton on percussion. All these people are professionals. They get together, they work with me. For the advancement of literature in performance is the way I'd like to term it. They all work like different bands, different groups, different types of music, classical, jazz, rock, all kinds of music. Anyway, so that being said, this piece is a continuation, like I said, of Ab Initio, Ab Initio. And I want to make some, you know, there are listeners out there who haven't heard this before. There are 2 figures, prominent figures, that appear in this piece, in this final part. One is named John. John is an archetype. He's half human, half animal. He was bred in a test tube by Dr. Moreau on the Island of Dead Souls. If you're familiar with H.G. Wells or the movie, the black and white movie. And he is a disciple of William Burroughs. All that's covered, the ghost of William Burroughs, I should say, all that is covered in the previous 6 sections. And that's lead up. So that should be a clarification. This piece was written originally for publication in Churn magazine as an homage, a testament to the greatness of The Artistry of Angelo Musco. It took me 3 weeks of very intense writing to put the entire piece together. And then I decided for this last piece, I like to conceive and pieces and do musical arrangements, and that's what I did. So the other very important thing is that this particular piece, which is just under 17 minutes long, will be included as a CD in my forthcoming book to be published by Nightwing Publications, Los Angeles, next September. The book's titled Howling at the End of the World. And the entire Ab Initio, all seven parts are printed, is a text, part of the text of that book. So, with that being said,
for the churning ones, Ab Initio, Ab Initio. From the mouth of hunger, the blood of indigenous peoples spilled across the face of the earth, the embers of their shamans dying in the manifest scourge of imperialist conquest, their holy animals skinned for pelts. The blood of Palestine screaming from the dead earth, their churning flood of dust and ash, wrenching truth loose from the holy writ of power and greed. The blood of Palestine shrieking from the sand and rock and barren soil, a dead wound filled with the afterbirth of nightmare injustice. We are the masses. The stillborn fetuses scream. Named faceless, fingerprinted and thumb crushed, hung from under bridges by our shriveling hands and shredding sandal straps. The blackened blood of Palestine ruptures the tectonic fault lines. Its holocaust pours through the vessels of Ab Initio. Through the decades, across the expanse of centuries, transients of millennia, gypsies in our own beds, hobos in our own homes, strangers bereft in our villages of bones, human bonfires within which history is torched and made mockery, silently slain, scorched trees of wither, lining the dry and slate-crusted riverbeds of compassion. The desert blooms forth in the graveyards of our small children as capitalist whoremongers count the cash, extracting the last ounce of duty to this religion or that, to this savior or that, to this god or that, to this Christ, some Christos, or that Antichrist. With isinglass eyes, blood-soaked streets stare heavenward, capturing, then releasing each departing moment.
Oh, the mean-spirited, groomed, and godly. Quoters of scripture at war with scripture. Making certain in ritualistic absolution that the devil gets his crown. Sleight of hand swindling suffering. Prevaricating persecution, humility, and forgiveness for icons material. Their shining trinkets and casks of hooch, cleansing the festering land of the blood of heathens. Beyond shamanism into the purgatorio of sermons manipulative and redundant. Beyond shamanism launched like prayer missile scud through the paradisio of broken hearts. Beyond shamanism into the inferno of ignorance, madly preaching of madnesses madder than dreams from death. Where shamans are driven into the ferocious, bubbling cunt of the volcano. The old seers are chained to the crosses and scimitars of naked power. Heathen. I am the indigenous untouchable, and I will not pause. I will not sleep while my square meter of earth is ravaged and occupied. I will not forget and never forgive that you cut off the heads of my children and threw them to the dogs. That you castrated my husband, my brothers, my father and grandfather, filling their minds with the gasoline of godliness, while their skins exploded with rotted pig meat, scattering their indigenous ruins among the rats. That you cut off the breasts and dug out the wounds of my wife, my sisters, my daughters, my mother, and grandmother, and fed them to white-collared swine. That you buried our history, dismantled our integrity, and stole our culture from our baby's tiny hands, while the viruses applauded. Tectonic plates of the skull and tidal waves of the soul. The groaning friction from subducted slabs of past incarnations. Subcultures subducted into the subcortex of genetic experience, where I am thrives on loss of being. Volcanic torrents of despair, the transmigrations of humans across the bloodied seas of destiny. The world of human thought shearing apart in eruptions of petty conquest, self-glorifying triviality, where mediocre savagery is an inconsequence, shown and cultivated while the earth churns through the ages, destroying each virus that assails it, until right before the end. Empires erected on the garbage ship, ashes and bones of all enemies of empire. Conquered in the names of truth, good, justice, temperance, and the continued prosperity of empire. In here, there is no word for innocence, no word for eternity. The shell of the virus of man escapes the desolation wrought by justice.
until right before the end. Shattered in heaps upon the halos of fallen angels. There, in arcing storms, flash souls, naked, being reborn. As human consciousness gathers together in clouds to inhabit that which is to become anew. Again, anew. Return anew. Gathering anew under the singed wings of the ancient mother. His ears and shuts his eyes. Burrows locks and loads, aims from the netherworld of now into the presence of the future. Paint cans of despair exploding over the eyes of Earth. Exploding paint cans of prejudice black facing eternity. Paint cans of alienation soaking the tongues of poverty. Paint cans of tyranny pouring out their rancid blood through the heart into the lungs of the disinherited. Burroughs 12 gauge splattering the paint cans to kingdom come. What kingdom? He doesn't know and doesn't care. Who gives a rat's ass anyway? They're all post-human enterprises. My dead dick has loftier fantasies than that. Creatures deploring sin and slyly ransacking the devout, praise-filled reincarnations, pulling the triggers as the shotguns roar once more. 10 billion aerosol pink cans explode, not one left standing. Paint encircling the holes gaping in the plywood sheet, huge enough now through which John hurls human heads. Affirmative. Comes the gritty growl. In the desolation chamber of the untouchables, the hallowed place is hallowed, a weeping is heard from the leaves of the tree of the dead. Where out from a hole in its trunk glares the face of God, and cymbals clang, clashing together, sounding for each castration of consciousness, each mutilation of the soul, each death mask of pseudo-holiness, each deep unredeemable suffering of psyche that completes the ritualistic cycle of birth, death, rebirth. Ab initio, ab initio, centerless silence consuming all sound, equals flesh retrograde, mind swarm in psychic scorn, ab initio, ab initio. Left brain, ab initio, corpus callosum, ab initio, right brain. Irreducibly determined is the finality and its end. Ab initio, ab initio, rising river of inhumanity churning inward, viral and inflamed. Reality in abstract seeps from body in corpsing mind. Ab initio, ab initio, O infinity boiling outward the beginning. Ab initio, nearing extinction, ab initio, continually cresting orgasm, ab initio, moribund death star in continuum, ab initio, ab initio, the mind and the rationale. Don't you understand? I'm an innocent victim of myself. Ab initio, ab initio, black hole. Within, 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 within.
Been listening to the world premiere of Ab initio, Ab initio, the final piece. This was performed by Ghost Ship Rats, featuring Katerina M. Pelego on cello, Felix Ayajele on guitar, Mark Fox on saxophone and African Ngoni, Danny Harrison on electric bass, Tom Tillman on percussion, and Michael Annis, who is a regular columnist for us, and we're so lucky to have him, doing the vocals and, of course, the composition. We are honored to have been able to share with our listeners the world premiere of Ab initio, Ab initio. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I'd like to remind you once again, it is listener-supported radio. So head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them some love. Revolution Radio keeps two streams of music going pretty much 24/7, and they're just a really good station, a really good network. We're proud to be part of them. Talk to you after the break.
Liberation Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We talk about decentralization and then annihilation.
Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby.
Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last half hour of our show. Our next guest of the evening was supposed to be Karen Katowski, and Karen will not be able to be on the show, and we will welcome her back and look forward to hearing from Karen Katowski next month. We would like to bring you some excerpts from today's headlines. From Information Clearinghouse, the U.S.-Mexico border isn't protected by militias. It's controlled by domestic terrorists. So-called militia groups have long been active along the southern border. In the 1970s, for instance, the Ku Klux Klan announced that it was creating its own border patrol to combat illegal immigration. In the 2000s, the Minutemen patrolled the border in Arizona. In 2009, Brisenia Flores was shot and killed in her own home in Arizona by members of a border vigilante group called Minuteman American Defense. She was just 9 years old and an American citizen. See the whole story at Information Clearinghouse. The U.S.-Mexico border isn't protected by militias. It's controlled by domestic terrorists. And this is an important headline from Common Dreams, commondreams.org. Economists warn Trump's sanctions targeting Venezuela, a death sentence for tens of thousands of people. And from Democracy Now, democracynow.org, these stories, A Death Trap in Raqqa. Amnesty finds U.S.-led coalition killed more than 1,600 Syrian civilians. Also, from Democracy Now!, Navy SEALs tried for months to report Superior for war crimes and were told to let it go. Another one from Democracy Now!, from crime bill to Iraq war vote, Biden's legislative history under scrutiny as he enters the race. And more from Information Clearinghouse. And you can find Information Clearinghouse at informationclearinghouse.info. And some headlines that are of interest by Andre Vilcek, How Western Reports Are Smearing China. By Mike Whitney, Will the senior level FBI agents who play spies in the Trump campaign ever be held accountable? By Norman Solomon, Joe Biden is a fraud, plain and simple. And this is from the Nuke Resistor. The Nuke Resistor, the nuclear resistor, is nukeresistor.org. Good Friday line crossing at Nevada nuclear test site results in 33 arrests, 8 taken to jail. Mercury, Nevada. On Friday, April 20th, more than 24 people were arrested during a peaceful, nonviolent demonstration for nuclear abolition and indigenous rights to end the occupation of the Western Shoshone Nation's homeland in the roadway leading to the Nevada National Security Site, formerly known as the Nevada Nuclear Test Site. 33 people were detained on NNSS land until the remaining crowd left the roadway uphill towards the historic peace camp. 25 of those arrested were issued written warnings by Nye County with the threat that if they return for such ritual supervised line crossing events, the warning will turn into an actual citation with attached court dates. 6 arrested at Good Friday witness at the Pentagon by Art Laffin. From Holy Thursday afternoon to Good Friday afternoon, about 20 people gathered in Washington, D.C. for a faith and resistance retreat and public witness that was organized by the Dorothy Day Catholic Worker and held at St. Stephen and the Incarnation Church. Those who participated in the retreat witness were members of Dorothy Day Catholic Worker, Jonah House, the Atlantic Life Community, and students from Loras College from Iowa. And you can find more on those stories and more stories, especially one. Here's a title from Nuclear Weapons Ruined My Life, and I Wouldn't Have It Any Other Way, by Frieda Berrigan. And you can find that at nukeresistor.org. Now back to you, Chuck.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Thinking the Unthinkable. By Solomon Sendak, Moon Rock Lake, a letter to the editor. Moon Rock Lake, Wednesday miracle. There are things we don't or can't understand. A reasonable man, a healthy man, a sane man. When he encounters the inexplicable, forget about it. Morris Minifield, Northern Exposure. Where was I? On Moon Landing Day. July 20, 1969, a Sunday. They say the Lunar Landing Module Eagle touched onto the moon at 3:18 p.m. Central Time in the Sea of Tranquility. Neil Armstrong announces, "The Eagle has landed." Mission control erupts. Crowd goes wild. I would have been between 8th and 9th grades, probably out playing baseball at Central Park. Probably holding a ball glove, standing in the living room, watching our little black and white TV, wanting to get back to the game, but not wanting to miss this. Probably I went back to the game and came home for supper, getting settled in for Lassie, the FBI, the wonderful world of Disney. The Ed Sullivan Show, Bonanza. Michael Collins drove the getaway vehicle, Apollo 11, waiting for Aldrin and Armstrong to return with their heist, rocks, dust. In January 1969, Joe Namath had led the Jets over the Colts, and Richard Nixon entered the White House, and the Beatles gave their last public performance. The Battle of Hamburger Hill was fought in May. In August, the Manson murders took place in Los Angeles, and Woodstock happened in upstate New York. In September, the Chicago Eight went on trial. In October, Walmart Incorporated, as Walmart Stores Incorporated, and the Mets won the World Series. November gave us Sesame Street and the My Lai Massacre. In December, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were murdered in Chicago. In 68, Martin and Bobby had died. I believed in it all, lock, stock, and barrel. I wanted to be a New York Yankee or a Green Bay Packer. I wasn't the only one. I'm not sure when I began to doubt, but I thank someone that it finally happened. I think doubting is good, especially when you're talking about the world and people. Eventually, you have to believe in something, but don't lap up the very first thing they set in front of you. That would be my advice. They read a book about the moon landing, Paul McCartney, and the Holocaust. Well, we'll throw in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in there as well, because if those things are lies, we might wonder what else is going on around here. Why would the stories we've heard about the moon landings, Paul McCartney, and the Holocaust be lies? Why would someone lie? Well, as Professor James Tracy puts it, modern propaganda techniques utilized by the corporate state to enforce anti-democratic and destructive policies routinely entail the manufacture and manipulation of news events to mold public opinion and, as Edward Bernays put it, engineer consent towards certain ends. You grow up walking around Moon Rock Lake in the 50s and 60s, and you pretty much believe everything. Everybody. You just do. You see your president on the TV. You think life is awesome. Then he gets killed. His brother, too. You grow up going to church. You agree that the whole thing is the real deal. You decide you want to be a priest. And then maybe not so much. You read the Wednesday Miracle and, wow, what would it be like to be part of something like that? The smell of the ink. Free donuts sometimes. Right in on the action. You see Bobby Kennedy come through town, speak at the train station, and you think, well, the Democratic Party sits on the right hand of God. The Apollo 11 press conference with Armstrong, Aldrin, Collins, after they came back from the moon. Have you ever seen that? Well, for a long time, I've wanted to know the truth, to really know it, but I don't. I've not seen a real inside document, but I have seen glimpses. We cannot imagine the people behind the scenes, those of us who eat at Perkins and call it a big night out. How can we imagine the people who really run the world? We cannot. We get our glimpses by chasing after a piece of paper blowing across the Quick Trip parking lot, thinking it's a winning lottery ticket. Then reading the labored writing in pencil, the secret note on the back. thinking the unthinkable about your own government, your own church, your own friends, your own president, even your own space astronauts that you've seen on TV while eating a giant, perfectly rounded Jethro bowl heap of strawberry swirl ice cream. But it seems we have to go there. I've done my homework, reading and watching on the internet about the moon, about Paul McCartney. JFK, RFK, MLK, Paul Wellstone, about the Holocaust, Sandy Hook, Boston, Oklahoma City, Waco, Operation Northwoods, all that. And I believe that if the news tells us about a bunch of baby blue suspicious backpacks in Bemidji, well, the reasonable man, the healthy man, the sane man thinks FBI, CIA, NSA. We think we see all there is to see in the world in our peripheral vision as we watch the Tonight Show on TV. We err by limiting ourselves in that way. There is more. Whoever these guys and gals are who are creating this messed up world, they're smart and they're full-time. They don't have to work 9 jobs, drop their kids off at a daycare at 5 in the morning in order to make things work. But we have a tough job. But we can do it. A young boy grows up expecting everything and everyone to be good. He figures out that power often trumps good, but he does well not to be a part of all that. To give up on that heart of a young boy too soon. I believe there is more. I want to know, don't you? You see these things, there's nothing you should put past the capability of government to do. Whatever it has to do to maintain power, it does. We were so naive back in the old days. We had to learn, I'm afraid, the hard way. That was William Pepper, attorney for Sirhan Sirhan and the King family. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats and journalists are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files that Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR, the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. And that's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about the forever wars, the debacle, to bring them to trial, put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies, we subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job, and they all know that. We need America's a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news. Somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas served nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire, those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said Osama bin Laden was killed, buried at sea. Yeah, Osama bin Laden buried at sea, and yeah, Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA did not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole, and no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters, which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show as we come close to the end of this week's episode. We had a great selection of guests tonight. The world premiere of Bob Benicio, just amazing. Julius Awafong reporting from a war zone in Cameroon. It's been a great show. We thank you again for joining us. We hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And don't forget, it's listener-supported radio. So head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them some love. Find that donation button and use it. Thank you, Mike, for all the work that you do, preparing us for every show. We couldn't do it without you. Your scripts are wonderful. Thanks again, and good night.
Yeah, and thanks to you, Chuck, too, all for all you did to put into the show to make it happen. And thanks to our guests, as you said, Michael Annis, Karen Kotowski, she tried to make it, really tried, but she couldn't make it work. Julius Awafong from a war zone in Cameroon. Philip Ferruzio, and as always, Frank Cordero. If you want to contact our guests, you can write to me at nwestiowa@gmail.com. And we look forward next week to Ava Bird, Azura Crispino, Mickey Z, and as always, each and every week, Philip Ferruzio and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you'll find information about all of our regular guests and also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. Donations for the Chiapas Project and Richard Flamer can be sent to the Chiapas Project, care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. You can also look up the website, www.chiapasproject.com. And so good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hochstrung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. Been been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist, and a Baptist, and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Laval? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there. And you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio,
where information never sleeps.
Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.